All right. Happy Thanksgiving, Title Tribe. Welcome in. Toilets and Titles. This is episode number 205. It is week 12 of the NFL season. It's one of the best weeks of the season. We get tons of food, family, friends, and a lot of football. We got, not only do we have three games on Thursday, I don't remember there being a game on Friday last year. We got a game on Friday this year. So Thursday, Friday, Sunday, Monday. It's going to be a phenomenal week, and it's a phenomenal evening. I am joined by my man, my buddy, my right-hand guy, Justin Stevens at JustinFF underscore on the Twitter. Justin, what's happening?
Yeah, no, you're absolutely right. This is the first season ever in the NFL for Friday games, and or a Friday game, I should say. But yeah, man, week is off to a great start. It was an exciting weekend for Frankenstank, man. That came down to the last drive for me to pull off the win. And Kelce, after spending much of the game kind of half-assing routes and being double covered and angry at the world, that last drive he finally pulled through for me, man. He made it stressful, but now my son's home for the holiday weekend, and we're gonna get to see him this weekend and well, starting Thursday, obviously. And yeah, we're grocery shopping tonight and dealt with a bunch of crazy people to get all the food for Thanksgiving, but it's gonna be a good time, man.
Hell yeah. And I see everybody in here. Jerry, I see Chris, I see Rich, I see Sean, I see Oscar, I see Robert. So it's like, he likes this. That's my cousin. My cousin Sean. So he knows it's my old man. My old man and his father were best friends. So he knows it's my dad's birthday today. So I had to get a little bit dressed up this evening to get out there. So it was either wear this tonight or wear this for Thanksgiving. And you know what I'm wearing for Thanksgiving. You saw that onesie I got in Disney World. Christmas, it's gonna drive my wife bananas. But all right, oh, yeah. I'm fired up. You know, I hope the NFL with this Friday, maybe they're thinking about changing Thursday night games to Friday night games, because Thursday, man, after last week with Joe Burrow going down, Lamar Jackson going down, like I'm sorry, not Lamar Jackson, I'm sorry, Mark Andrews, Joe Burrow, Mark Andrews. I think you know Thursday night games are not everyone's favorite at this moment.
Yeah, I love them, but the injury aspect obviously is bad a bit. I mean, it does kind of make you wonder if the injuries would still happen, but I mean at the same time, like, I don't know, it was early in the game. It's not like they were just exhausted and beat up from the previous week and it was ugly football. Like, it was just a nasty tackle that happened awkwardly, and I mean, as far as Andrews goes, and then I mean, maybe there's something to be said about that with Burrow not having enough time to rest and heal, you know, trying to go out there and throw full speed, but they throw full speed in practice.
I thought it was weird that it kind of, the buzz or vibe was like, it's an injury, but, you know, maybe he'll be back. And then the NFL questioned, because there were pictures that came up of him coming off the plane with the wrist brace on. And as soon as the NFL started bringing that up, boom, he was on the IR. Do you think that they were pushed to do that, or you think that they're kind of...
See, I don't know. There's this thing where, and my wife actually brought it to my attention, and I Googled it. It is a thing, and it's like this this brace thing that you wear when you're working on an iPad. If you work on an iPad a lot, and he's constantly put through an iPad, and if you'll notice in that very same picture, in his same hand, he's holding an iPad. So, like, it legitimately could have been one of those things. And his hand wasn't super swollen like that until after he got tackled.
Of course, your wife was looking at this picture, breaking it down for you.
Yeah, oh, yeah, yeah. She's a big, let's just call her a Joe Burrow fan. Yeah. or fangirl, whatever you want to put it. But his hand wasn't super swollen like that until he got tackled and rolled on it awkwardly the play before. And then it almost instantly swelled up. So, I don't think that he was legitimately hurt beforehand, personally.
Man, if I'm the Cincinnati Bengals or another NFL organization and I'm listening to this podcast right now, I'm hiring Justin to be the head of my HR.
I tell you what, man.
Public relations.
Yeah, I put it in another group chat, like in one of my leagues, that we've been binge watching the TV show Suits. I really feel like I could convince a jury of Joe Burrow's peers within a reasonable doubt that he was not injured beforehand.
Man, you convinced me. All right, everybody. There's your wife. Anyway, she's dropping in to say she's a fan woman. Thank you very much. That's good. All right. Hey, go check out toiletsandtitles.com for our weekly content. our mock drafts, our draft profiles, our dudes and duds, our starts and sits, our player rankings. And I'm sure over time, we're going to bring on some more writers, and that website's going to continue to grow. Very similar to the Gilded Chat, we have about 200 people in this Gilded Chat. It's a fantasy football community on the Gilded app. It's the Title Tribe chat on the Gilded app. That's probably how I should word it. You can reach out to me on the email toilets2titles@gmail.com, or if you're watching, at Coach Sheps on the Twitter. Say, hey, Coach, I want to join this Title Tribe community. We got, like I said, 200 people in there. We're talking fantasy football 24/7. We're talking trades. You got the player playing with house money crew in there, talking gambling, NFL, college football, NFL draft. It's just a great community. And I think you could see everybody in the comments right here. And I think they would back that up. But Justin, before we get into the NFL discussion, I want to kind of talk about some things we're grateful for this Thanksgiving season, right? I mean, it's Tuesday night. Turkey Day is right around the corner. It's a time to reflect on things we're grateful for. So why don't you kick this off?
I was kind of also following what you had put down a little bit too, but my first one is the support of the T2T significant others and family members for dealing with this this business that we call a hobby, or this hobby that we call a business, right, of fantasy football. And I know that they sacrifice a lot for us, so we greatly appreciate the love and support that we get from our family members. I also wanted to say that I'm very grateful that, you know, the past that this network has built has kind of become and is paving the way for a really dynamic future that we have. And that kind of, even today we had a chat going on in our office chat, and man, just the support and the camaraderie in that chat alone today just kind of really makes you, it makes us really appreciate it. And John and I have talked about this separately, like, we really appreciate the team that we've built around us. And the thing is like it's not even us. Like, sometimes we'll bring in somebody that we know very little bit about, and then next thing you know, like, they're dynamite. They're really good at their job. They're really awesome people. Like, we've gotten insanely lucky doing what we do here. And again, that's just a great thank you to the team. And then of course I want to thank Travis Kelce for that last drive, getting me that last catch. I'm extremely grateful that my Frankenstein team only has one loss, because of Travis Kelce and Mark Andrews, unfortunately gone now, and Hockenson with those tight end premiums. Like, I love my tight ends.
Yeah, man. And I want to kind of piggyback off of what you mentioned with our history, right? The other day I wore that pullover from the first episode we recorded together. So I was wearing that. So I'm very aware of the history. I'm grateful for the moment Frankenstein entered our world, like the moment we kind of brainstormed. Like, I can't go back to the exact moment, but whatever it was, there was like a beautiful stream of consciousness that was going back and forth between the both of us, and I'm grateful we had that moment.
Yeah. Yes. You know? Yeah. And there have been a few moments kind of like that, but I know exactly what you're talking about.
yeah like, we were, you know, I was away 2 weeks ago with some friends. And I was kind of talking about the comedy I like. I like yes and comedy, you know? But this wasn't comedy, but sometimes we get in that yes and mode where we just kind of, this is good, but what about this? Like the other day, I brought up to you an idea I had for next year. And I wasn't sure if I was onto something, and you kind of liked it.
Yeah, I loved it, and I'm glad that it's on the dock, and that's obviously for another episode. But yeah, it's going to be fun. It's a nice twist.
Yeah, man. All right, I'm grateful for the Title Tribe. I'm grateful for this community we've created that we started. I want to say like back in, well, this is at the Title Tribe chat. I want to say we started like back in like March or April, maybe somewhere around there, and it's just grown. And the amount of people that are active in there and supporting the team and supporting the show and supporting one another and doing it in a respectful way. Like, we're all adults and, you know, we have fun, but like, people treat each other with respect in there. And that's something that I really appreciate. I appreciate the team at Toilets and Titles. You know, Justin mentioned this earlier, like everybody's different, man. Like, the things we do in there, like, you know, it's kind of, the team's just grown over time and, you know, kind of people specialize in different things and it's been beautiful to watch, but the support and the friendship that we've had from everybody who's joined the team, you know, over the last few years has been incredible. And the last thing I'm grateful for is Deron Bland. With Trayvon Diggs hurt, Bland has stepped up in a major way. Yeah. He's tied an NFL record, fourth pick six of the season. But now, not just that, he has a PFF grade of 90.9, which he's the number one rated corner in the NFL.
Yeah, it's out of nowhere.
Yeah. Yeah. Like last year, he was playing well, but he was playing in the slot. I'm going to read some numbers to you that I saw. Deron Bland through 10 games. When Stephon Gilmore won the Defensive Player of the Year in 2019, Stephon Gilmore allowed 599 yards through 16 games. Bland's let up 206 through 10 games. Bland's let up a touchdown. Gilmore didn't let up any. The quarterback rating against Bland's is 34. Gilmore's was 44. Bland has 12 deflections to Gilmore's 20 through 16. Bland has six interceptions already to Gilmore's six. Gilmore had two pick sixes. Bland has four. So similar numbers to a Defensive Player of the Year candidate.
Yeah.
Or rather, winner.
Yeah, Gilmore was great last season, and but Bland is more of a highlight reel too. On top of right. that, like it just he's putting on a clinic for all you kids out there that want to play defensive back.
Yeah, man, it's exciting to think about when Trayvon Diggs comes back next year, what they'll look like. All right, I did put a note in here for the Thanksgiving squares, but we filled those, so I sent the image of the squares in the Gilded chat, so you can check that out. We'll be doing Christmas squares. I think we're going to do Christmas Eve and Christmas Day. I'm just going to set them both up. I might do a $5 and a $10. We've been doing $5, so I might do the Christmas Day one, $10. So stay tuned for that. A little later in the show, I know what everyone's here for. We got that $325 Yeti cooler. I got more details on how to enter, but specifically, the last two episodes, we said one word in each episode. We're going to say the final word tonight. Those three words, you need to email us, toiletsandtitles@gmail.com. You also need to like and comment on the episodes. You need to be in the Gilded chat. You need to be a YouTube subscriber. I'll go over all the details of what you need to do later in the episode when we announce the third and final word. Finally, before we get into the games of the week, I do want to mention we're also going to pick somebody at random in the comments tonight to join our weekly game picks challenge. So me, Justin, Frito, Will. Will's going to create a graphic every week. Every week, we're going to pick somebody live from the comments. You are going to compete with us. On Wednesday, you're going to DM Will in Gilded. You say, hey, here's all my picks for every single game. He's going to put your picks on an image with us. We're going to tweet it out. We're going to tag you in there. And if your average beats our average, you're going to win free entry into our Frankenstein Listener League in 2024. If you already have free entry, because there's some of you who do, we'll give you a $25 gift card. So stay tuned. We'll pick one of you at random. I don't know how we're going to do it, but we'll just maybe Justin's the random guy. We'll figure out a way to do it. But Justin, games of the week. All right. How did you feel about that Bengals Ravens matchup from last week?
So it was a 14-point swing, and I feel like if Joey B hadn't gotten hurt, it would have been a much closer game, but definitely not the way that I hyped it up to be, you know, Thursday night football and being division rivals. And I really thought it would be a much closer game. But I'm gonna chalk that one up for as injuries. That's my excuse.
As much as the score differential is big, it was a meaningful game. It was an impactful game due to the it was a division game, but then the injuries that came out of it. But also after the Chiefs lost, now the Ravens are the one seed in the AFC right now.
Yeah.
That's a pretty big swing.
Yeah. And that is significant too, for the Ravens. I know I'm going to talk about the injuries a little bit later on. I may as well get this one out of the way, but with Mark Andrews, the team is saying that there is an outside shot that he could return. Obviously he's done for fantasy football season. But what they mean by that is if they make it deep, if they make it to the AFC Championship game or the Super Bowl, there is an outside chance that Andrews could play. And if they can get that number one seed and get that bye week, that's even more helpful that they might be able to get him back for the playoffs.
Man, T.O. did something similar when the Eagles made their Super Bowl run a few years ago, and I think on a much shorter time frame. So T.O. can do it. Maybe Mark Andrews can go to the go find the same shaman who worked on T.O.
I don't know, man. T.O. was a machine.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. All right, I picked Eagles at Chiefs. Great game. Chiefs, I feel like the Chiefs played. All right, their offense wasn't – I don't know if the offense could be much better than they were. Like, with – I guess Travis Kelce had a few drops, but their defense played lights out. Their defense played their best game they could have played, and the Eagles still beat them.
Yeah.
You know, and I don't even think the Eagles' offense was what – Jalen Hurts had 150-something yards in interception, so their offense wasn't humming either. So Chiefs threw everything it could at them.
I mean, the next time they play each other, it's going to be in the Super Bowl. And if it's in the Super Bowl, you know that Taylor Swift's going to be there. And if Taylor Swift is there, then Kelsey's going to play like a man again. So so they'll be all right.
I still think it's the 49ers that go. I still do. You know, but we'll see. It'll be very interesting when that game comes, because that's going to be the NFC Championship game.
George.
I hope I'm wrong.
Good call, George.
Nice to see George. What do you say?
Like, hit the like, subscribe.
Yes, smart man. Hit the like, subscribe, and throw us some comments before and after the stream goes live. All right. We usually do one game a week that we is our game of the week, but because there's Thanksgiving, it's a week of its own. So I picked Commanders at Cowboys, which is the 4:30 p.m. The Commanders beat the Cowboys at the end of the year last year with Sam Howell. So this is the first time the Commanders are playing the Cowboys this season. Even though the Commanders just lost to the Giants, they're going to give the Cowboys everything they have, but the Cowboys, I think, have beaten six opponents by 20-plus points this year, so they've been beating teams they should beat outside of the Arizona Cardinals, so I feel very confident the Cowboys are going to run away with this one, but it's a classic matchup. It's a division matchup, and it's on Thanksgiving, so really anything could happen in a high-energy situation like this.
Yeah, and you were gracious enough to let me choose my game of the week first for the Thanksgiving games, and I'm glad you did, because this game actually means a lot to me as far as like just memories and nostalgia. Because growing up, you know that my NFC team is the Packers, because I have a lot of family up in Wisconsin. Spend a lot of time there when I was young, and always had Thanksgiving dinner at my grandma's house, and she's a big Packers fan. So, but I got to see the Lions every single Thanksgiving, and they didn't always play the Packers. So I got to this point where I would root for the Lions on Thanksgiving without my grandmother knowing about it. Like, I had to hide it. So now, you know, the Packers are playing the Lions, and I'm going to get to watch that game and kind of enjoy that nostalgic feeling of secretly rooting for the Lions just because it's a Thanksgiving Day game. Sorry, Nate, this is the one game of the year that I'm going to root against the Packers.
Yeah, I like that. I mean, in this one, like, there's been so many years when the Lions played where the game was terrible. And this Lions team is very, very good. Like, they were always like kind of the crash test dummy on Thanksgiving, just getting smashed.
Yeah.
And now the Lions are, but it's a division opponent. And, you know, Jordan Love's coming on a little bit. So I think this game will be fun to watch. But for the remainder of week 12, I got Bills at Eagles. So I'm double dipping on the Eagles. I got Bills at Eagles. How did that not get flexed yet? Can it get flexed this week?
No, I don't think so. You keep talking, and I'll look up the schedule to make sure, but I don't think so.
425, the Bills just beat the Jets. You know, the Jets, like, I feel like they've just kind of ran out of gas. They've been doing everything they can. They're like a drowning person, just doggy paddling at the top, and I think they just ran out of steam. That defense couldn't sustain any longer without any strong offensive play. So the Bills are coming in, but I don't think the Bills are but the Bills would shut a lot of people up, myself included, if they get a win against the Eagles. I'm just not counting on it.
Yeah, your flex game this week is Baltimore at the Chargers.
Okay, fair.
That's so a game. I mean, still, you know, playoff implications. The Chargers aren't completely out of it yet, and like you said, the number one seed on the line for the Ravens. So it shouldn't be a bad game.
What's up, Will? Nice to see you, man.
So my game of the week is the Browns at the Broncos, or my second game of the week, I should say. So The Broncos are 5-5, but they are way much improved over the last five games with an outside shot. Not even really an outside shot if they keep playing like this, but like a shot at the last wild card spot. And then the Browns are only a half a game behind the Ravens, the team that we keep talking about. That's the one seed. So that, I mean, that this game could mean a lot to the Browns. Every game could mean a lot to the Browns, because if they don't win the division, then you're looking at the five seed. That's a big difference from the one seed to the five seed, right?
So tell me about it.
A lot riding there. And then of course the Browns are rolling with the law firm of Dorian Thompson Robinson, attorneys at law. So this should be a real defensive battle, which I also really enjoy. I love watching defensive games, and I love low scoring games when it comes to our little competition for game of the week.
Yeah,
because there's no real chance of getting one team getting blown out by 21. But since we've gotten it close, I kind of need to start keeping that in mind again.
Yeah. Well, I gained back 10 points this week.
You did.
So yeah. I'm now down three. Well, I'm up three, but that's
Joe Burrow gave you 10 points.
Yeah. All right. Justin, why don't you do a little Rival Fantasy plug real quick?
All right. So Rival Fantasy is the newest evolution of fantasy sports betting. So join rival.com/title tribe, where you can play $1 bingo cards. And if your players get certain achievements, you check it off the bingo card. And if you get five in a row, just like a bingo, you win bingo and you win a jackpot, just like I did back in week two. Several other ways of betting and gambling on Rival. And if you want more information on that, just hit me up. It's at JustinFF_, or reach out to us on The Gilded and you can DM me there, and I can get you set up with your new account. But again, that's joinrival.com/title tribe. First deposit of up to $200 is matched, plus an additional $25 just for using that link.
All right. So there's a bunch of injuries this past week. Why don't you briefly, touch on these and any of the injuries that stuck out to you?
All right. So, of course, Joe Burrow, we've already talked about it. Yeah. Wrist ligament tear, season ending. Geno Smith, right tricep contusion. It's a UCL injury, which is the same thing that kept Stafford out for a week. But since he was throwing on the sidelines, it's a lot less likely that he's actually going to miss a week. But stay tuned for Friday night. TGIF, George and I will be breaking down all of the injury updates a little bit closer to game time. So that's Friday nights at, I believe, 6 o'clock is when we drop that one. Aaron Jones, probably not out for the season. It looks like it's an MCL sprain. He's going to be out anywhere between 2 to 4 weeks, depending on if that is a grade one or a grade two. Kenneth Walker has an oblique strain. It's possibly a grade two. Right now, they're saying that he's likely out 1 to 3 weeks, but the fantasy doctors are confident that he's going to be out for week 12, even though it hasn't been announced yet. So please plan accordingly with your waivers running tonight.
I think with Kenneth Walker, one second, I'm sorry, with Kenneth Walker and Geno Smith, hurt, right? And Kenneth Walker, if he is banged up, they are another team that's fluttering right now. Yeah. They cannot afford to fall off, and they are going to need to ride their backfield. So Zach Charbonnet should get a heavy dose of work if they want to stay afloat until Geno Smith heals up and Kenneth Walker heals up. They're going to need to ride Zach Charbonnet and then hope that running this man will open up some passing lanes for easy targets to deep threats like Tyler Lockett and DK Metcalf.
Yeah, so Drew Lock got to play most of the or not most, but a lot of that second half, and he ended up with -1.88. So Charbonnet to the moon if both of those guys are out. I agree with you, because there's gonna be a lot of dump off passes. There almost has to be.
Yeah.
Devon Achane re-injured the right MCL. He's 50-50 to return this week, but the fantasy doctors are saying be careful with this type of injury. And personally, based off of what I've read from them, from their website, if I hear that he's a go for week 12, I'm going to try to sell him anywhere that I possibly can and redraft, because there's still a hot name there. But with this being that high of a risk of a re-injury, I'm not taking any chances in redraft. I'm going to try to trade him off, and then if I can get something out of him, then great. And then if he gets hurt, I don't feel bad. If not, then at least I got something out of him. Let's see. The next big one, Tyreek Hill. It was a mild hand injury. he returned back into the game and still continued to dominate, but Tyreek only needs one hand, so I'm not concerned about that one at all. Cooper Kupp, right ankle sprain. It's a mild sprain, but still concerning. Right now, they're giving him 50-50 for week 12. But again, stay tuned for TGIF on Friday. But this one seems more like if he is able to go, it's going to be one of those true game time decisions. So that's when you're going to want to check out Tidal Time Sunday morning between 10 a.m. or 10:30 a.m. and 12:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, where Jason and George and Rich and whoever else that they have on as a guest will be able to break down the start and sit dilemmas for you. And they'll have that most recent update to let you know if Cooper Kupp is actually going to be playing or not, if he is a true game time decision like they seem to think he might be. Let's see. OBJ re-injured the left AC joint. Now, if this is a type 1, he's going to play, and it's going to be a pain tolerance issue. Right now, they're thinking it's likely type 1. But if we find out later in the week that it's a type 2 or worse, he will miss some time because it is a re-injury most likely. Let's see. Justin Jefferson told sideline reporters on Sunday that the injury feels good. He's almost 100%, but he's waiting until his body and endurance is back to gameplay shape. And he's hopeful that that's going to happen in week 12. But if it's not, the Vikings have a bye in week 13. So he'll definitely be ready by week 14. And we see this all the time, right? Like when a player is this close and they just have one more week before a bye. Like they sit out a lot, and it's not good for fantasy purposes because like this is like worst case scenario, because you want him to be healthy. So you almost don't want him to come back too soon. But at the same time, you want to see him get this game in so that you know he's ready for your playoffs. Now you're going to have to take a chance because it's Justin freaking Jefferson. If he plays week 14, you can't sit him in your playoffs, and then you just got to hope for the best.
It's crazy. We're so close to that.
Oh, I know. It seems like we just started the season last week. Michael Thomas, MCL sprain. He hit the IR today. He's out for minimum of at least 4 weeks. He's not going to return until at least week 16. He's droppable at this point. Almost would say that in a lot of dynasty leagues, he might even be droppable, even though while he did play, he was a solid wide receiver too most weeks. He's not healthy. We already talked about Mark Andrews. Hockenson. So here's the reason, some of you may not know this, but here's the reason why you saw a lot of Josh Oliver on Sunday. It's because Hockenson has been playing with bruised ribs, or at least this last week he did. And you might actually see a lot of that again this weekend, where Oliver is going to come in and spell him a lot, or you're going to see both of them out there, and Hockenson's going to be a decoy. So we might see a lot of this again in week 12. But then after the bye week in week 13, we should be full go for Hockenson in your fantasy playoffs. I know this isn't a big name, but I got to say it because I saw him picked up in so many leagues, guys.
Oh, man.
Pat Freiermuth. He returned in week 11 against the Browns, recording one catch for 7 yards. That's almost an identical stat line when he played the Browns in week 2, when he had one catch for 2 yards when he was healthy. The fantasy doctors also have him down as a 20% chance of re-injury based off of the type of injury, his injury history, you know, all that sort of stuff. And with Pickett under center, you got to leave Muth on the waivers. He's just not worth all the fab I've been seeing him go for.
Man. All right. A lot of injuries, a lot of things to consider. The Devon Achane, you know, George is saying he wanted to come back in last week. And, you know, I want to play him. But, like, so there's a few guys. I'm not worried about Tyreek Hill, right? Because if he's playing, you know, I'm even with Hockenson, like, all right, he was a little banged up last week, didn't get much targets, but I'm playing him. No matter what, I'm playing Hill, I'm playing Hockenson, but a guy like Devon Achane, you know, I'm feeling a little nervous because they don't necessarily need to feed him. And even with Kenneth Walker, you know, because they have a guy like Zach Charbonnet, so there's definitely some players I'm going to be a little nervous about. Before we get into the buys and the streams, I'm going to do my dudes and duds, all right? And then we'll go and do the streams, and then everybody who's in here that's waiting for some of the Yeti cooler information, the weekly picks challenge. We're going to get to you shortly, but here's my dudes and duds for this week. Quarterback Brock Purdy at the Seattle Seahawks. All right. Brock Purdy lives for big stages. An opportunity to have a monster performance on Thanksgiving night is very fitting for this young man. The Seahawks secondary has been awful. It's allowed the second most points to opposing quarterbacks so far this season. I'm starting my Purdy's. Jordan Love at Detroit Lions, all right? Jordan Love gets his first ever start at Thanksgiving, and he'll be facing a Lions secondary that's allowing the fifth most points to opposing quarterbacks so far this season. Love has played better as of late and is primed for a big outing this Thursday. Tony Pollard versus the Washington Commanders. It's odd putting Tony Pollard on my dudes list, but everyone who's rostered Pollard this season has been waiting patiently for the breakout. I feel like it's finally here. Pollard averaged 5.1 yards per carry on 12 touches last week. He added four receptions out of the backfield. This week, Pollard faces a Commanders defense just got absolutely gashed by Saquon Barkley. I like this matchup. Derrick Henry versus the Carolina Panthers. Henry has had a pretty disappointing last 2 weeks, but don't give up on him just yet. I'm slotting Henry in my lineups this week against a Panthers defense that is allowing 33 points per game to opposing running backs. DJ Moore at the Minnesota Vikings. Moore is averaging 7.5 targets per game over the last five outings and had his best performance of that span this past week in Justin Fields' return to action. I like this game is indoors and on turf, and I also like this matchup is against a Vikings secondary. It's allowing 51.3 points per game to opposing wide receivers. Odell Beckham Jr. versus LA Chargers if he plays. Let's get wild here, all right? I'm going to get wild on Thanksgiving. OBJ looked explosive as all hell last week against the Cincinnati Bengals, and he's averaging 34.5 yards per reception on five catches over the last 2 weeks. He demands more targets, and with Andrews out, I expect Odell to get those targets, and I expect those targets to come his way. Luke Musgrave at the Detroit Lions, right? So I got two in the Panthers-Lions game. If the Luke Musgrave breakout game is ever going to come, this is going to be the week. The Detroit Lions have given up the most points to opposing tight ends this season and a prime candidate for Musgrave to have his best performance of the season. Duds. Kyler Murray versus LA Rams, all right? The Rams defense just did a very good job against Geno Smith and the potent Seattle Seahawks passing attack. Kyler Murray has been gifting those patient enough to hold on to him or smart enough to pick him up on the waivers. Some solid starts, but this week I think Murray gets his first welcome back to the NFL moment. I think this is going to be a real one versus the Rams. Geno Smith, San Francisco 49ers. Smith is coming off a game in which he looked average at best. He's a little banged up. 49ers defense is better than the Rams defense. They're currently allowing just 9.6 points per week to opposing quarterbacks. If Smith suits up, remember what I said about them leaning on the run. They're still going to lean on the run. I'm avoiding him against the Niners. Brian Robinson at the Dallas Cowboys. The Dallas Cowboys defense has given up the third fewest points to opposing running backs so far this season. As a Cowboys fan, watching them week in and week out, I feel like they're much better defending the in-between-the-tackles runs than the outside-the-tackles runs. Robinson's an in-between-the-tackles runner. All right, I think they're going to shut him down. Javonte Williams versus the Cleveland Browns. Williams has totaled 59 carries over the last 3 weeks, which is good. He's getting the volume, but the production is not there. He's averaging 3.4 yards per carry over that span, and he's failed to get into the end zone on the ground this season. Browns defense is great against the run, and this will be another disappointing week for Javonte. DeAndre Hopkins versus the Carolina Panthers. Hopkins has come back to earth since the 128-yard performance versus the Atlanta Falcons back on October 29th. This week, Hopkins will face the Panthers defense that just held CeeDee Lamb in check, allowing just 26 yards from him. Davante Adams versus the Kansas City Chiefs. Kansas City Chiefs defense looked absolutely possessed for most of the game versus the Philadelphia Eagles. They held A.J. Brown to one reception on four targets for 8 yards. I think Davante Adams is going to see a little bit of the same thing from those Chiefs. Finally, Jake Ferguson versus the Washington Commanders. The Commanders have played the tight end position very well this season, only allowing 5.6 points per game to tight ends. Ferguson has been good, but not great. Schoonmaker's emerging. We saw him get into the end zone. Look for some of those Ferguson targets to start. Go to Schoonmaker. I don't want a timeshare guy right here. So, Justin, no, oh, go ahead, man.
Oh, I was just going to mention the Luke Musgrave thing. It turns out that he had to go to the hospital recently. And it could potentially be like an appendix issue or something. Ooh. Like it's an internal thing, an organ thing. Pretty high likelihood that he may not play. I did not have that on the doc because that was relatively new news. And Black Body Absorber here, who is a regular on Sunday mornings for the Start Sit show, mentioned that. So I looked it up and yeah, you're dead on, man. So just throwing that out there since it was brought up. We appreciate you, Black Body.
All right. So
not words. Oh, sorry.
Well, I'll have to adjust the dudes and duds of that tight end if he's going to miss that matchup. But all right, let's pick, before we get into the streaming life, I want to pick somebody to enter the first ever weekly game picks challenge. This is going to be the first competitor who's going to go against me, Justin, Frito, and Will. You got to be in the gilded chat in order to compete here. So we're going to pick one of you, and then you're going to DM Will or in the Title Tribe chat, say, hey, you can tag Will. Just say, hey, Will, coach sent me. I'm the person who's going to be competing against you guys this week. All right. And then you're going to pick every game. You're either going to win free entry into Frankensack or you're going to win a $25 gift card. So the next person who is watching this and comments, pick a number from 1 to 10. It was originally going to be 1 to 5. I already messaged Justin in the private chat which number I'm picking. You can only guess once. You only get one guess. All right. If you, the first person to guess the correct number gets this spot. While they're guessing, Justin, David is incorrect. It is not 7. There are no teams on bye. Oh, Jerry Backshaw got it. Jerry got it. All right, Jerry, reach out to Will. If you're watching, Jerry's going to be the competitor. Jerry, you could tag me in the Title Tribe chat. And George is just guessing for the hell of it because Jerry already won.
it's George, on a slight delay.
George, you could compete with us anyway, my man. You're a member of T2T. But Jerry, tag me in there, and I'll get you set up with Will. So Justin, there's no buys this week. Let's get into that streaming life.
All right. So fortunately, with no buys, that means that there should be more players available out there for you. This week in the streaming life, I'm going to stream for my kicker, Brandon McManus, Jaguars. Only 38.6% roster. The Jaguars offense finally looks to be falling into where they left off last season. They face the Texans in week 12 in a divisional matchup that is sure to offer up some field goal attempts on both sides. The last time McManus missed a kick this year was way back in week 3 when he faced the Texans. He missed 2 that week that would have given him double digit points for that week. So he will be looking to exact revenge, as will the entire Jaguars team. They lost that matchup by 20 points in week 3. It's a different looking Jaguars team now. And the weather is not going to be an issue as the game is being played indoors at Houston. Tampa Bay. The Tampa Bay Buccaneers are my defense. 14.9% rostered. It's no secret that the Buccaneers have an average defense. They tend to show up against weaker offenses, and they tend to disappear against great offenses. This week, they get to face the Indianapolis Colts, who overall tend to have a bipolar offense. However, the one consistent guarantee is that Gardner Minshew will give up turnovers, and he'll get sacked at least once at the end of the half of the game by holding the ball for too long as he's trying to make a play, trying to relive his Minshew magic days from back in Jacksonville. In the last 5 games, Minshew has turned the ball over 10 times, and he's been sacked 14 times in the last 7 games. So right there is an average of 6 points for the Buccaneers just in turnovers and sacks alone. They only need to hold the Colts offense to about 25 points and 300 yards to produce a top 10 fantasy week in double digit scoring. And I didn't put in the rest of it here for some reason, but I do remember in the last 2 games that the Colts have played, they have averaged less than 300 yards and they have averaged less than 25 points over those 2 games. I'm trying to find it now, but it was against 2 very weak opponents. In week 10, it was the Patriots, who are battling for a top tier draft pick. And the other one was the Carolina Panthers, also battling for a top tier draft pick. So their offenses look stagnant against 2 really bad defenses. So that's why the Buccaneers are my stream of the week for defense. At quarterback, I've got Jordan Love. Sounds familiar, right? He's on the dudes list as well, but he's also still only rostered in 43.6% of leagues. So in 1 quarterback leagues, you may have a chance to pick him up and stream him. Love has finished as a quarterback 1 in 4 games so far this season and hasn't had a bust game. And what I mean by bust is not finished as at least a quarterback 2 or worse, or he hasn't finished worse than a quarterback 2. at all this season. And that's even back in week five when he only scored 8 points. That was his only real bad game. He still finished as a QB2 because quarterbacks across the board were pretty bad that week. In week 12, he gets to play against the Lions on Thanksgiving Day. Love finished as the QB12 overall in week 4 when he played against the Lions. And the Lions have given up the 11th most points to opposing quarterbacks, making him extremely streamable. And then finally, my tight end stream of the week. This one's kind of obvious. I have to throw it out there, but it's Isaiah Likely. He's only rostered in 1% of leagues. But when I say streaming, like, yeah, you could pick him up and potentially ride him out for the rest of the season if you're hurting at tight end. But also, if you just need a one-week guy because you have somebody that's banged up or somebody with a really bad matchup, he could have a huge week this week. Last season, Likely's rookie season, he came in for Mark Andrews a few games. When Andrews left in week 8 and Likely stepped in and made a name for himself as the tight end 2 overall for that week in about 3/4 of that game. He followed that up as the tight end 9 overall in week 9. Andrews missed one more game in week 18 and Likely finished as the tight end 3 overall that week. Don't be swayed by the fact that in this last game when Andrews went down on Thursday in the first drive, the game ended up with Likely having 0 catches on 2 targets and Charlie Kohler had one catch for 13 yards because Likely did have a catch that was called back. That would have been a nine-yard first down, but it was called back for a penalty. While there will be a noticeable split between the two backups, not like anything you've seen when Andrews is out there and he gets 90% of the snaps, it won't be near as bad as some might think. I think Likely will get about 70% of the snap shares and can be viewed as a low-end tight end 1 for the rest of the season. But this week in particular, he faces the Chargers, who have given up the 3rd most fantasy points to tight ends. So at the very least, pick him up this week, especially if you were the Andrews owner, and see what happens against a bad Chargers defense and see what you like with them. You might like Likely.
Yeah, and Black Body Absorber is asking – a fab suggestion for Likely 10%.
Yeah. At this point in the season, I think you also want to look at your opponents. Look who else is out there that needs a tight end and then look at how much fab they have left and just go a dollar over that. Because at this point in the season, most people have already blown most of their fab.
That's true.
So if you can get me that information and send it to me in a DM on the Gilded, I don't know if you're in the Gilded Black Body Absorber, but you should be. You're a huge contributor on Sundays and we greatly appreciate that. But if not, get me that information and DM me at JustinFF_ and I'll see what I can come up with for you.
Yeah. And then we'll get them in Gilded. All right. Yeah. So it's the moment everyone's been waiting for. All right. We're going to give off the last word of the 3-word phrase. Before we give this word, this is to be entered to win the Yeti cooler, which we are going to announce next week. Okay? Here's the rules. You must be in the Title Tribe chat on the Gilded app. You must. In order to get in there, reach out to us at the email toiletsandtitles@gmail.com. You must be subscribed to our YouTube channel to enter. Okay? You must email us the 3-word phrase, toiletstitles@gmail.com. You must like and comment on the 3 episodes that we put these words in. So this week, last Tuesday, and the Tuesday prior. Okay? You will have until next Tuesday at 6 p.m. Eastern to email us the 3-word phrase and complete all the checklist items. If you send it after 6, like 6:01, you don't get it. You're not in. All right. Now, if you're a Patreon member, if you're a Patreon member tier 1 and you enter that account, you have 2 entries. If you're a Patreon member tier 3, that's 4 entries. So you get bonus entry for each tier level you are a Patreon. Patreon.com/toiletstitles. Tier 1 is like $1.50. Gets you into our exclusive chat. Tier 2, I want to say, is like $3. Tier 3 is $5. We got next month, we're giving out, I think they're called Rumblers. Rumblers or Tumblers. Yeti, we're giving up one in December, one every Tuesday. And it's going to be much more simple than this. We're going to come up with a cool way. They're going to have our logo on it. They're Frankenstein green, but they're only going to Patreon members next week. Okay. So this week, I'm sorry, this month, anybody can enter, but next month is Patreon only. All right, Justin, I've done enough nonsense. What is the final word of the 3-word phrase?
All right. So I'm not going to go back and repeat the other two, because you got to go back and watch those episodes. Just like Coach said, you got to go back. You got to comment. Let us know in the comments that you know those words. So they'll make more sense. This word, Frank, will make more sense if you see the other two words. So go back and watch those episodes. The third word is Frank. Do not comment in the comment section. All right. Don't comment what the other words were, guys. Yes. We want people to go back and watch those episodes. Make them work for it if they're going to beat you for this Yeti cooler. Don't make it easy on them.
All right, man. Happy Thanksgiving, everybody. We appreciate you. Good luck winning this thing. Justin, before we wrap this thing up and go get ready for a big Thanksgiving day of games, what did you learn from today's show?
Yeah, so I learned that Brock Purdy is going to eat on Thanksgiving. I learned that that Tony Pollard needs to go see a dermatologist because he's breaking out. And everyone seems to think they're going to win this Yeti cooler. Yes. Only one can win it, but everybody in the chat seems to think it's going to be them. So good luck to everybody and have a wonderful Thanksgiving.
This is probably a bad idea. So like, I'm not going to, don't take this and run with this. You could take this and run with this, but I'm not going to give you an extra entry if you Photoshop yourself somewhere in the world with a Yeti cooler. if you're gonna take this Yeti cooler and run with it. If you Photoshop yourself on a trip with the Yeti cooler, I'm not gonna give you an extra entry, but I'll give you some props. And I would love to see that in the Title Tribe chat.
Or we'll give you a free square in the next squares. There you go. Man, that's, because we're gonna have at least a Christmas one, and knowing you,
yeah,
you
but we need to cap before. That like up to 10 squares.
The first 10, the first,
yeah,
10.
Yeah, the first 10, there we go. All right, is that, that's compromise, man. That's how we, that's yes. And we talked about this earlier on the show. That's, this is how we roll. So, all right, Justin, it's been a pleasure. Everybody who's been listening and watching, it's been a pleasure. Happy Thanksgiving. Be safe, wear your seatbelt, don't drink and drive. Enjoy your family, enjoy your friends, and we'll catch you all later on. Take care.